God is our rock.
Yeah.
Hope of salvation.
Yeah.
The song says he's a strong deliverer.
Yeah.
In him will we always trust. Song brings back so many memories. I'm grateful for you, choir. Thank you. Amen. Today, as we enter into week three, get your Bibles out. Are we ready for the word of the Lord?
Yes, sir.
We have been perusing through some milestone moments in the life of Jesus. And so I want us to today read Matthew chapter 17 and beginning at verse 14. When you have it, please say, I got it. I got it. Matthew 17, verse 14. Amen. I see some of you resting on your feet. Amen. Get your devices out, flipping them Bibles. Amen. Scroll, hit the button. We there? When they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Jesus answered and said, you unbelieving and perverted generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not drive it out? And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. 21, but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. As you're taking your seat, just turn to the person next to you and say, are we? Go ahead and take your seat. The reason that we have been going through these milestone moments in the life of Jesus is not so that we can simply celebrate, Reverend Jackson, what Jesus has done. Now don't get me wrong, he's worthy to be celebrated. But we're also being challenged to take a hard look at ourselves.
Yes, sir.
Right. I don't know about you, but some of us don't like to take a look at ourselves. As we've been going through this 3 weeks in, some of us in this room were doing a little truth telling last week. Did anybody tell the truth? Some of us have begun to look and see, am I really doing what I need to be doing? Here are some facts as I make my way to our text. Here are some facts about Jesus. Number one, Jesus was just as powerful in the neighborhood as he was in the temple. He was just as powerful in the garden as he was in the mountain. Just as powerful in the hinder part of the ship as he was when he was feeding 5,000. He was just as powerful before Pilate as he was on the cross. Just as powerful at the table as he is on the throne. But the question, our moment of truth is this: are we two different people day by day? In other words, Is your praise confined to Sunday? Your worship confined to a song?
Come on, come on.
Your holiness confined to an act? Your love confined to people? Your care confined to people you like? Your sacrifice confined to only a 10%? Are you consistent? Are you the same? No matter what. How do you handle people when they're unlovable? How do you respond to people who don't like you? What are you going to do when you want to do the right thing and wrong is easier? I posed two questions at the start of this series. Question one was, are we satisfied with being Sunday morning only Christians? And question two was, are we satisfied with confining our work to these four walls? Now, I know in church, I challenged y'all last week to tell the truth, but everybody's like, amen, Pastor. That, yes. We taking it to the streets. Until you have to take it to the streets. We taking it to the streets. Till you see what them streets have to offer. Until you're trying to tell somebody about Jesus and they cuss you out. Until you're trying to tell somebody about Jesus and they square up and they want to fight. But to get to the answer of these two questions, to get that alignment right, I got a third question I want to pose today. Reverend Eason, I got a third question that I want to challenge this great church with. Are we able? Dr. Bonds, it's an interesting question because a lot of people say yes to stuff and don't tell the truth about, you know what, I'm not actually able to do what I said yes to. As you were taking your seat, I asked everybody to turn to that person next to them and simply say, are we? And with some mumbling of your breath, some of you, are we? Are we? But the question is, are you really able to do what God requires? In our text, contextually, Reverend Allen, the disciples have already been told that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yeah, yeah.
That happened in chapter 16. Jesus has predicted his death. He's explained the cost of discipleship. Peter, James, and John just got finished watching him be transfigured. And after all of this, a crowd appears to Jesus, not at church, in the streets. That wasn't abnormal for Jesus. It's just abnormal for some of us.
Come on, man.
And they present the Lord with a troubling problem. It's a problem, deacons and friends, that bothers me every time I think about it. In Matthew 17, verse 14, look at what it says. They came to the crowd. A man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him and saying, look at the problem. Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic and very ill. Now understand contextually, for that father to say about his son that he's a lunatic, he's saying that my son is possessed.
Yeah, yeah.
This was a marker in the text of demonic possession. It's a marker. Not how some of us use the word crazy. This was a marker of demonic possession.
Yes, sir.
Do y'all know what it takes for a father to say that about their son? My son, my seed, the one that's gonna carry on my name. The name wasn't carried through the girl. The name wasn't carried through the daughter. This is why when you study the genealogies in the Bible, it is not that the Bible is against women. I don't care what anybody tells you. The reason that men are so prominent in the Bible is because men are the seed bearers. So genealogy is often given through the men. Not because they're better, but because that's where the name, the bloodline travels through the man.
Yes, sir.
If you actually go and study the genealogy at the beginning of Matthew, clearly the gospel writer loved women. How do you know? Because he included four powerful women in the genealogy.
Yes, sir.
And guess what? They weren't the upstanding women that you think they were. Rahab is in there. Huh? Because at least she was bold enough to do. Okay, never mind. Let me not do that. Somebody gonna get upset and y'all will be okay. Huh? And so here it is. I got a man bringing his boy. And he says he's a lunatic.
Yeah.
And, wait, put that back on the screen for me. Kurt, thank you. He's a lunatic and very ill. So he's possessed and sick. He often falls into the fire and into the water because a devil will make you do stuff you don't want to do.
Come on.
No, don't get spooky in here. A devil, even Paul said it in Romans 7. Read it when you get a chance. He says, I want to do good, but I just find myself doing evil all the time. Because the devil will make you do some stuff you don't want to do. So he says, my son is a lunatic and sick. And then look at verse 16. Here, oh boy. I brought him to your disciples and they couldn't cure him. We got a two-part problem, Tabernacle. Number one, we got a sick boy who is also possessed. Part two of this issue is I got a group of disciples who couldn't do nothing with it. This is a problem. And the reason I know it's a problem is because of how Jesus responds. Look at the very next verse. Look how Jesus responds. Jesus answered and said, you unbelieving, perverted. I gotta slow it down so y'all feel it. You unbelieving. Perverted generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. Now, I want you to understand something. Jesus didn't say, because this is what we want Jesus to say. They shouldn't be able to do anything because they're not God. Mm-hmm. That would have been better, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that have felt better, choir? If the man brings his boy and says, I brought him to your disciples and they couldn't do nothing. And Jesus responds, don't feel bad. They not me. So they shouldn't be able. He didn't say that. Let me tell you what else he didn't say. I haven't taught them that. He didn't say that, Dr. Boozer. He didn't say they shouldn't be able to do it. He didn't say I haven't taught them that. He didn't say this is too hard for them. Instead, he says they are unbelieving.
Yeah.
And they are perverted. His response does not elicit, that's okay. The response of Jesus is, I can't believe y'all. Walking with me all this time. I just told y'all I'm going to die soon. I've already equipped you in the text. Go back a few chapters. He had already sent them out two by two to heal every kind of sickness and disease. It's not like he hadn't told them what they can do. But the truth is, y'all, excuse me, he had told them what their power was and they weren't functioning in it.
Come on.
He had told them what they should have been doing and they refused. They had seen it, but they weren't doing it. They were celebrating moments instead of making it a part of their lifestyle. I know many of us wish the text said, ooh, this is a hard one. I know why they can't do this. But no, you unbelieving. That's what he said. It's in the Bible. That unbelieving, you are without faith. And that word perverted in the text means that you have deviated from what you've been taught. That's what that word perverted means in the Greek. You are without faith and you have deviated from what I told you. I've already told you that you got power over all type of sickness and all type of disease. As a matter of fact, you came back to me and said, we can't believe that even demons obey us. So what's going on here? How is it that we have one moment with God and then forget he's good? How is it God come through for you in January and then in February you still worry? You thought you was going to lose it in 2022. It's 2024. It's been over a year and he's still keeping you. I need somebody to say, wait a minute, my bad, God. See, some of us need to do some good repenting. My bad, God, I don't know where my faith went. I don't know where I deviated off the course. I got mad. That's what it is. Come on, tell the truth. I got mad. I got frustrated. And that thing looked a little bigger than the last time. I don't know what happened to me. I lost my head a little bit, but I'm back now. Jesus called him unbelieving. Jesus called him perverted. He said, in other words, y'all should know better. That's 2024 language. Y'all should know better. Jesus is upset. You know why he's upset? Because y'all my disciples. Notice he ain't mad at nobody else. You guys are my disciples. Aren't we? Oh, it done got quiet in Tabernacle now. He's upset because these are disciples who are faced with a problem, and he's like, you should be able. And they weren't. Are we? What happens if demonic possession walks in here? Do we call the police? Or do we lay hands on the sick and watch him recover? What happens if someone is really going through and they need your prayers? If their problem is bigger than what you've seen before? Do you shrink back because it's bigger than what you've experienced? Or do you trust that it's not about us? Because we ain't the healer in the first place. It is God who heals. It is God who delivers. Matter of fact, if you read the book of James, it says, if there's any sick among you, let them come to the elders and they'll pray. It says, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. And if they have committed any sins, they will be forgiven him. But it's not because we're good. It's because Jesus does the raising. Don't take your eye off of the one who died. It ain't us. I don't care how well we're doing down here. None of us are on his level. And the problem that Jesus had with this group is this. You guys are my representatives, and you should have been able, and you weren't. Are we? Are we? What is your threshold of your prayer life? How big does the problem have to get before you be like, oops, that's too much. It's too much for my Jesus. We're talking about the man who looked out on nothing and said, let there be, and there was.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We're talking about a man whose literal word makes the water stand still.
Yes, sir.
Come on, have you ever been? Because y'all not. There are literally places in the middle of the ocean where two oceans meet and never cross each other. You can literally look from above and see a line going all the way down. Two oceans that meet. Just because God said this is this and that is that. Neither ocean. Water with no land. Just sitting there like, I ain't crossing that line because I got a word. You mean to tell me that the sky stays up, the ground stays down because it got a word? You mean to tell me that you can go to the beach, stand in the sand, and no matter what storm goes on out there, it'll come onto the land for a minute. Then it got to go back because it got a word. And you think that God can't pay a bill? We get worried when our brother or our sister comes and says, this is what I'm going through, brother. This is what I'm going through, sister. It's really hard. And we're sitting up there on the inside and we go, ooh, that is pretty bad. That is pretty bad. I'm thinking that is pretty bad. Your prayers, for those of you taking notes, write this down. Listen, if y'all don't hear nothing I said, hear this part. Your prayers are only as potent as what you believe.
That's
your prayers are only as potent as what you believe. If your belief is small, no matter what you say, God doesn't respond to what you say. He responds to the place you say it from. Oh, I don't know about that. You don't. Mm. God don't look at man as we look at man, judging on the outward appearance. He looks at the heart.
Yes, sir.
Come on now. When the woman was following the disciples and saying, these are servants of the Most High God, she was saying something true, but she had a devil. So you can say the right thing and be the wrong person. So many of us are praying all the right prayers because we're praying grandma's prayer. The reason it worked for grandma is because she believed it. And the reason it ain't working for you is because you don't. Huh? Yeah, we sitting up there and all you doing is you praying the prayer you heard grandma pray. You praying the prayer you heard grandpa pray. And while he was sitting there in his rocking chair and he didn't have a whole bunch of words, now we got 15-year-old kids moaning. For what? Oh, y'all not gonna like me. You're trying to just repeat something you've heard. Being old for no reason. Well, it worked for Graham. Of course it did. It worked for them because something was in them. They didn't have no words to say. You got words. Don't repeat something you don't believe. You gotta have some belief.
Come on
now. Young people, sometimes when you praying, you got to give it in your language. Lord, I mean it for real. No cap. No cap. For real, for real. See, some of the old people are like, cap. I don't know what he just said. Don't be up there, you 12 years old, talking about, No, tell God the truth. Look, God, for real, what I'm about to do, smack taste out of her mouth. No cap, for real, for real. And you know, come on, my guy. You know, this is what it's about to be. Tell the truth. The issue with Jesus is this. Jesus is like, y'all should know better. And I believe that's a message for us, Deacon Frazier. We should know better. They're unbelieving and they're perverted because they're disciples. A disciple, a follower of Christ. A disciple, a disciplined student.
Yeah.
A disciple, an adherent to the character and ways of the master. And y'all can't do nothing with this? They should have been able to handle this one. And my question to you, Tabernacle, on this Sunday morning is, are we? What prayers, what situations have you given up on because it was too much when you heard it? Who have you invited to church to get saved when they should have got saved when they was talking to you?
Yeah, yeah. Come on.
See, if we was really gonna do it the Bible way. During Jesus' day, you couldn't even come to church until you got together. During Jesus' day, church was actually reserved for the believers. That's why he did so much work in the streets. The reason he preached out there and taught in the synagogue is because the synagogue was full of people who were already believers. He preached out there because that's where the gospel needs to be preached. Prove it. I will. I am not ashamed of the gospel, Romans 1. For it is the power of God unto salvation. That's the gospel, right? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So if we got to continually preach the gospel to people who say they're saved every Sunday, somebody lying. The efficacy of the gospel is out there among the unsaved. Well, we got people who come to church and they not saved. You invited them and you saved, so why didn't you get them to Jesus?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Well, that's the church's job. Who said? Ephesians 4 says that my job is to equip the saints to do the work of ministry, to edify the body of Christ till we all come to unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, that we be a mature man, no longer tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. In other words, it's my responsibility to equip you to go to work with your crazy coworker and say, come here, let me pray for you. For some young person to go to class and you sit next to that crazy joker in your biology class and say, listen here, lift up your hands, I got something for you. Pray. Oh no, that's, I'm gonna bring him Deacon Johnson. Gonna bring him to Reverend Allen. Gonna bring him to Reverend Eason, Dr. Bougier, Deacon Scott, Deacon Frazier, all them people with titles. But you got the ministry of reconciliation. Be reconciled unto God. We should be able. Are we? Verse 18. It gets worse. Jesus rebuked him. The demon came out of him. The boy was cured at once. When I read it the first time, everybody said, amen. Y'all just did it again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, here's the problem. Jesus did it. And for many of us, we're like, great. Whew. You got it. Jesus took care of it and everything is fine, and that's where many of us get stuck. We become satisfied. We're satisfied that Jesus did it when Jesus is dissatisfied because we should have.
Yes, sir.
See, contextually, Jesus took care of the boy. Amen. He's still mad because they should have been able. We overlook reality. Jesus, you did it. In many churches across the nation, this is when the praise starts. Jesus did it. Put a praise on it. No, no, no. Jesus did it. And we should have. Should have been them.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. It's an indictment. Who's coming to Jesus about you?
Come on, come on.
Who's coming to Jesus saying, I brought my issue to your leader and they couldn't do nothing. Jesus, what can you do? Oh, it done got quiet in here. I'm having a good Sunday. I'm enjoying myself. Hmm? Who's talking to Jesus about you? Not they were helpful, they were loving, they were kind. But I brought them my issue and they gossiped and they laughed. They told me they was going to pray and I knew they wasn't going to say nothing. Are we? If we believe, I'm almost through. That was, who said? I'm just kidding. If we believe that greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. If we believe that if God be for us, who can be against us? If we believe that we have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed go begging for bread. If we believe that we are blessed in the city, and blessed in the field, and blessed going out, and blessed coming in, that we're the head and not the tail, that we shall live in many nations, and shall not borrow. If we believe that we can do all things,
yes, sir,
through Christ, who strengthens us, the devil should have no chance. He's a defeated foe,
yes,
who is under our feet. So why are we disciples worried about somebody who already lost? We should be the ones telling the devil, you bet not. Don't you even try to come on my kids. Don't you even try to fool my grandbabies. We should be the ones. Get out of my marriage. You don't belong in my house. We should be the ones telling the devil, get out of my body. You got to get out of my mind. We should be the ones saying, you can't have no place in our church. You don't get to show up in no meetings. You don't get to, hallelujah, you don't get to do that, because this is holy ground. This sanctuary is sacred. Certain stuff you don't get to say nowhere on the grounds. This should be his house. He said my house should be a house of prayer. And God is not looking at us saying, I got it. He's looking at us saying, do you?
Yes, sir.
We know better. Some of us been in church all of our lives and we still waiting on a Messiah that already came. Hallelujah. We should know better. Jesus won. The devil lost. And we have the victory. Y'all didn't hear me. I said, Jesus won. The devil lost. Hallelujah. And we have the victory. Y'all, excuse me. Jesus won. The devil lost. And we have the victory. Come on, saints. We got some people going through right now. But I got a word for you. Jesus won. The devil lost, and we got the victory. We got some people with some family members going through right now. I got a good news message for you. Jesus won. The devil lost, and we have the victory. Some of you got some stuff on your prayer list right now. Here is your good news message. Jesus won. The devil lost, and we have the victory. So lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up, hallelujah. Lift up your hands. Y'all, excuse me. Jesus won. The devil lost. And we got the victory. I know some of y'all might wonder, why is he so excited? Because I know what it's like to be on the wrong side of Jesus. But oh, when you get on the right side, Jesus won. The devil lost. We got the victory. Do I have anybody in here that's grateful for victory? Do I have anybody in here like, all right, let me go ahead and put on my big boy britches. Let me go ahead and put a praise on that. My bad, God. I've been running from a defeated foe. Devil, you have no victory over my house. Somebody got to leave out of here, and it ain't gonna be me. It's how we should be living daily. Your kid come home with something going on in school. Jesus won. The devil lost. And we got the victory. They telling you, man, we had to go through this today. This is happening. We got folk that's going through all manner of foolishness. Jesus won. Why? It don't look like you. I don't care what it looked like. This ain't about our feelings. Come on now, your feelings are terrible teachers. Your feelings are terrible leaders. Come on now, but sometimes you got to say, if God be for us, who? If we believe that we're more than conquerors, we should also believe, Reverend Allen, that we're more than able. Y'all know, I'll talk to this side. I said, if you believe that you're more than a conqueror, you should also believe that you're more than able. Y'all not just, let me talk to y'all. If you believe that you're more than a conqueror, you should also believe you're more than able. Wait a minute, I don't feel able. It ain't about me. I'm not able because of me. I'm able because of Jesus. I'm able because of his blood. I'm able because of what he accomplished on my behalf. I'm able because one day he decided while we were yet sinners. Hallelujah. You didn't wait for me to get it together. He didn't wait for me to get it together. Ooh, you know how long he would have been waiting if he had to wait for me to get it together? Huh? You know how long he would have had to wait if he was waiting for all of us to get it together? That ain't a... Oh, what a mighty God we serve. That ain't the type of God we serve. We serve a God, Dr. Bougie, that even when we don't have it together, his grace is still sufficient. We serve a God that even when we don't have it together, he'll still make a way out of no way. We serve a God that even when we don't room and a doctor. Hallelujah. Ain't no way in the world we should be tucking our tail, talking about, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Let me remind you, Jesus won. Woo! The devil lost, and we got the victory. I don't understand. You walking around talking about, woe is me. You better get a different song. Jesus won. The devil lost, and we got the victory. Come on, come on, come on. And so when something comes in your life and you're like, how am I gonna make it? I don't care what it looked like to you. God can do all things. Now, y'all sit down. Give me 2 more minutes. Hallelujah. He said 3. I'm gonna take 2. The disciples, ooh, ooh. Y'all, I know, he's wonderful. He's wonderful. See, your praise is a direct product of your relationship. It is. I know. Some people are like, I don't praise God like that. That's fine. I don't care if you got to give him a wave hand praise. I don't care if you got to give him one of these right here. I don't care if you got to give him one of these right here. I don't care if you got to jump, run. But at some point, come on now. This church is built on faith. This church is built on the power of God. So give it a minute, because I'm telling you, I'm going to keep putting logs on the fire until it catch. That's what we're going to do. We're going to keep putting logs on the fire until the embers of the Holy Ghost that these bricks are sitting on catch fire. Because I'm telling you, many of you were here when we were what? Oh, yes. I've read your history. I remember in the history when it said we didn't know how we was going to keep the building. It's in your history. Read it on the website. I remember when they had to go to the bank and they said, where the money going to come from? I read it in your history. But somebody was praying and everybody said it's going to be all right. And guess what? Here we are. Jesus won, the devil lost, and we got the victory. Now, whoo, the disciples had enough good sense. Deacon Frazier, the disciples had enough good sense to be like, let us at least figure out why we couldn't do this. They had enough good sense. They had enough good sense. This ain't making no sense. We getting rebuked and we don't know why. Look, put verse 19 up there. The disciples came to Jesus privately. Look at them. Now you messed up in the open. Let's have this conversation.
Come on, man. Come on with it.
Oh, boy, when I read the Bible, it blesses me, y'all. Yeah. The disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why couldn't we drive it out? Verse 20. He said, because of the littleness of your faith.
Yeah.
He didn't say because of the lack of your training. He didn't say because of the lack of your power. He said because you don't have faith for this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's it. You don't have the faith for it. What does the Bible say faith is? The substance of things hoped for. Hebrews 11:1. The evidence of things not seen. That means that faith is not feeling, it's substance and evidence. If you go into a court, come on now, Hebrews 11 is actually in legal language. Ain't no way in the world you go into a courtroom with feelings and conjecture. You better go in there with some substance and some evidence. And faith is substance and evidence. As a matter of fact, y'all, I'm going to be through. Jesus Christ. The Amplified Bible says Hebrews 11:1 like this. It is the title deed. Faith is my title deed. Y'all not in here. Y'all do know that you can drive on a car, and if you still making payments on it, you don't own it.
That's right.
Is that new information? This is my car. No, it is not. It is not your car. It's the bank's car. It's the bank's car. You driving it. Now, when you make your last payment, they'll send you a title. Now it's yours. Now it's yours. Faith is the title deed of my hopes. When I got faith, and then God tells me I can have something, I'm not making payments on it. We've already been bought with a price. Ain't no payments on what Jesus promised me. I got the deed in my hand of everything that he promised me. So when the devil comes in, though you slay me, yet will I trust him. You don't get to take this from me. He said, the reason you couldn't do it is because you didn't have the faith for it. You had no substance. You had no evidence. You had no substance. And for many of us, that's your conviction right there. You don't have the faith for it. And we should. He ends with this. Verse 21. This kind. Don't go out except by prayer and fasting. In many translations, it's parenthetical, verse 21. But the reality is, you couldn't do it because you didn't have faith, and you didn't have faith because you didn't pray. Because your faith is based upon your prayer and your fasting, your ability to commune with God and to make sacrifice. And you don't have those things, therefore your faith is small. Because if you had bigger faith, I could tell by what you say. He said, if you would have had faith, you would be talking to mountains different. The reason you run from mountains and don't talk to mountains is because your faith is little. If you got big faith, when mountains come in your life, you talk to them and tell them what to do. When that mountain comes in the mail, when that mountain calls your phone, when that mountain confronts you when you go to work tomorrow, if you have faith, you talk different to a mountain. But when you're faithless, you cower at a mountain. Huh? But that faith comes with prayer and fasting. And we should all do it. Here's the last thing I will say. It's the last thing I ask that you understand from the text. I know it. Jesus immediately rebuked the boy, remember? Mm-hmm. And the devil came out.
Yes, sir.
That's the Bible, right? Guess what? He didn't stop to pray. He didn't stop to fast.
Nope.
Hold on. But he said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. Why didn't Jesus have to pray? Why didn't Jesus have to fast? Now I heard some of you. Because he's Jesus. Because he had a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. If you wait to get holy till a problem comes. Okay, I'll give it to y'all in 2024 language. If you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. Jesus was like, I never know what's going to come up on me, so I stay ready so I ain't got to get ready.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling y'all this kind don't go out by prayer and fasting, and y'all should have been staying ready with prayer and fasting. That's what y'all do.
Right.
I do it all the time. I'm always praying. How do you know he always prays? Because we know his rhythm. He would always get alone with the Father to pray. And you know what the disciples would do? Sleep. Okay.
Yeah, come on.
So we know that they didn't have a pattern. They were living off the fumes of the master instead of learning from him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We should be able. The question is, are we? Father, I thank you for this word. Thank you for truth. Challenge us, God, to answer this question rightly so that we can be honest about our state. Challenge us, God, to answer this question rightly so we can get able. We know what your promises are. Forgive us for living beneath them. In Jesus' name.